Welcome to the CLC podcast. CLC is the Columbus Leadership Campus of Point University, located at North Highland Church. CLC exists to equip young leaders and to help them unlock their God-given potential through practical ministry training and a biblical education. For more information about our school, you can visit our website at clcgeorgia.com.
So can we give it up for Pastor Daniel Dean coming to bring the word this morning all the way from Warner Robins?
How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody doing good? Come on, everybody doing good?
I love you too.
This is going to be one of those, huh? Oh, man. Hey, but first of all, I know Justin just introduced me, but I am Daniel Dean. Woo! I am the youth pastor at the Assembly at Warner Robins. If you've been to one conference or district council the last couple years, that is the church where I'm at. I've been there for almost 5 years now with Pastor Mark Merrill. He is absolutely incredible. He has done a lot for me. He's pushed me. He's motivated me. He has been an incredible leader and mentor in my life. I just appreciate all that he's done for me. And so it's important as you guys go and you grow and you become pastors yourself, that you find yourself and surround yourself around people who genuinely care about God, first off, and then secondly, genuinely care about you and your well-being and your future and what you want to accomplish. I sat down with Pastor Mark within the first couple of months and told him my dreams and plans and visions for my life and my ministry and my family, and he has been faithful every step of the way to make sure that I'm headed in that direction. And so I just want to challenge you, if you are getting ready to graduate soon or it's coming up, make sure that when you do, go find a job and God's calling you somewhere that it is a pastor who loves and cares and wants to see you succeed. And I promise you, if you surround yourself around leaders like that, you will succeed, and then you will become a leader who wants to see other people succeed as well. And that's very important leadership quality there, is to see other people succeed, not just you, but other people around you, because if people around you are succeeding, well, then guess what? You're succeeding as well. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. I was just giving a little heads up of where I'm at and what's going on, but I'm honored to be here this morning. Very honored. I love your staff and your people that are here, your leaders. They mean a lot to me. Juan, my boy Juan. I was kind of hoping he was going to walk in a little bit later so I can scream Juan right when he walked in the door, but he didn't. I love your leadership team. Pastor Lacey, your senior pastor here, I've known him for 13-something years now. I was telling y'all earlier, he was actually my wife's senior pastor when she was growing up. Rachel in the back, they actually went to church together and youth camps together. We went to school together. She was in our wedding and all that kind of cool stuff. So just blessed to be here and honored. But today, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite stories in the Bible from my favorite book in the Bible. So if you would please turn to Daniel chapter 3. Wah, wah, wah. For real, Daniel chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. We're going to read through 18. But after we do that, we're going to kind of catch us up to that those couple of verses, and then we will move past that. But if you would, Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 16 through 18, and it says this right here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up before us." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for this chance and this opportunity, God, to talk to these amazing students. Lord, I pray right now that our hearts and ears would be open to hear from you and that your words would flow and that lives would be changed, that nobody would leave this room, God, the same way, that we would all make that step closer to you, Father. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. So what got us to this point to hear these words, even if? They're standing before the king. The king is basically saying, hey, you haven't bowed down to me. Why? If you don't, we're going to throw you into the furnace. And they say, Your Majesty, even if God doesn't save us, we still will not bow down to the statue that you have placed before us. Not just the statue, but your gods, whoever you serve, whoever you want us to bow down to, we are not going to bow down to, even if that means the furnace engulfing us and killing us on the spot. So how do we get here? King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to call him King Neb just because I'm from Alabama and I like nicknames, all right? King Neb. I give people nicknames all the time. Speaking of nicknames, my girl in the back there, Rachel, back at Southeastern, we would be sitting in El Prado, the beautiful campus, waiting for class to start, and a lot of us would still, you know, meet together before we walk into class. We'd walk to class, and all of a sudden, we look up, and here come my wife, Megan, and here come Rachel, and all of a sudden, I would stand up, and I would yell, Twinkle Toes, and it was Rachel, Twinkle Toes, because she might hate me for this, but if you notice, Rachel likes to walk on her toes, all right? And so there was this, all of a sudden, she was walking down our Prado, and I yelled Twinkle Toes about 10 years ago. And from now on, every time I see Rachel, it's Twinkle Toes. And she knew I was going to say this because she hadn't even said hey to me this morning. And she goes, if you tell these people that my nickname is Twinkle Toes, I'm going to kill you. So if I go missing after the service, it was Twinkle Toes, all right? It's Twinkle Toes. But Twinkle Toes, everybody is allowed to, if you don't call her that, they get an F. All right? I'm just playing. But seriously, cover that. But King Neb decides to build this statue. Now, the Bible says and commentaries say it was about 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. It's pretty big thing. So he builds this thing on this planet Orion. He has it set up, and he says, listen, this thing is built. It's beautiful. It looks nice, but it's not just here to look nice. All of a sudden, I'm going to sound some horns, some instruments, some musical things. And when you hear those noises, when you hear those instruments, wherever you're at, I want you to bow down and I want you to begin to worship this idol. If you don't do this, and we catch you standing up or we catch you not doing anything and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, we're going to take you, we're going to throw you into the furnace where you will die. And so here's this decree, here's this proclamation, here's this thing set before the people. If you do not bow down when you hear the instruments play, you will die. So, makes a proclamation, makes a decree. Next thing you know, he's brought, hey, let's test it out. Let's see if the people are going to listen. Boom, the musical instruments start playing. Everybody bows down except for who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All right? So, they're probably standing up looking around like, I'm not going to bow down. Maybe, you know, maybe in their mind they're thinking, maybe nobody will notice, but even if they do, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to bow down. But of course, when somebody's doing something right, or when somebody's doing something against the status quo or against the normal, or somebody's not fitting in, somebody's going to run their mouth and somebody's going to tattle on them and somebody's going to be a little crybaby. So, of course, here are these guys doing what is right in God's eyes. And here's the crazy things. Sometimes Christians, when you're doing right in God's eyes, will tattle on you because they're not doing what they need to do. So they will make you look bad in order to make them feel better about their lackadaisical life. Okay? So here we go. That's just good right there. It's real talk, all right? So these storytellers, fortune tellers, astrologers, it gets thrown around a lot, see these three guys standing up, and immediately, what do? They run to the king. Why are they running to the king? Probably because they want to see these guys die, but also because they probably wanted to find favor with the king. Hey, you made this proclamation. You guess what? These guys aren't doing it. We got you somebody to throw into the furnace. So the king hears about it. He gets mad. Summons the three boys that come into his presence, say, listen, I hear that you didn't bow down to me or bow down to the idol. I hear the music was played and you stay standing. I'm going to give you another chance. So here these three boys are before the king. I'm going to give you one more chance when the music plays for you to bow down. So the boys are standing here looking at the king. I don't know this for sure, but I would think they could probably see the furnace. They may be able to smell the furnace. They can feel the heat from it. They can see the guys throwing the wood and the coals into it to make it hotter. They can see everything going on. And the king said, I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down. And then this is when this verse takes place. This isn't around a circle of friends trying to be all big and bad, running your mouth. This isn't when the circumstances aren't as strong or the circumstances aren't as risky. This isn't a cool time to say this. This is life or death. And the boys look at the king and say, listen, we're not going to bow down because the God we serve is able to save us. And the title of the message is what? Even if. Because the next word is, even if he doesn't, it doesn't make a difference. We will burn for the sake of our king because we are not going to bow down to you or anybody else. So it's important that we understand where this verse is coming from and how they're saying it and why they're saying it. I would like to think that this second time saying it, they're probably a little more emphatic. Their tone might be a little more strong. No, we are not going to do it. I mean, they're already standing before the king. They've already not bowed down once. They're already showing strength. They're already showing courage. But to do it again shows exactly who they are living for. And see, we know the rest of the story. If you don't, we'll talk about it a little more. King Neb gets a little mad. His face gets distorted because he gets so angry. He gets so angry with the boys, and he orders the boys to be tied up. Their clothes still on. Everything they were still standing in, tied up, bound up by the strongest men. He orders the furnace to be tied up, heated up 7 times as hot as it was. And he says, you know what? You're going into the furnace. The boys are tied up. They're bound. The strong men are taking them in. And as they open the door for the boys to be thrown in, all of a sudden the fire is so hot that it kills the guards who were throwing the boys into the furnace. Now, this kind of makes me wonder right away. The guards die, but as the boys are being flung in, they're still alive. That's the first hint right there. The king should have seen that already. But he was probably distracted by his men being killed by the fire that was intended to kill somebody else. And so as the boys are being thrown in, they hit the ground. And it says almost immediately, King Nebuchadnezzar stands up and says, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 people into the furnace? And everybody there who was watching says, of course, we threw 3 in, tied up, bound. There are 3 into the furnace. He says, then why do I see 4 people unbound, walking around like nothing is happening? And now I like to think that at that time, everybody in the circle, everybody in the know at that point begins to look into the furnace, and they begin to see not 3, but 4 people walking around. And then King Nebuchadnezzar says this, and the 4th one looks like a god. The 4th one looks like a god. Now all of a sudden, you have Nebuchadnezzar, who earlier was saying, you were going to bow down before me and this statue. And if we go back earlier, and they're standing before him, he says this, no god will ever save you from my power. And now, all of a sudden, he's looking into the furnace, and he says there's a 4th one, and their 4th one looks like a god. All of a sudden, just really quickly, Nebuchadnezzar's mind begins to change, and his words begin to change. And all of a sudden, he begins to realize that these 3 boys are actually serving somebody who is more powerful than he is. And then he orders the boys to step out of the furnace, and as they walk out, Everybody notices that their clothes aren't scorched. Now, it's funny that the ropes come off. The ropes are off. That's pretty funny. It'd be cool if they were just, like, burnt up, but everything else was fine. The hair wasn't singed. Nothing was gone. Everything was absolutely perfect. You know, their hair had the hard part going in. Like, everything looking good. They walked out looking Gucci. Everything fine. You know what I'm saying? Perfect. And they stand before the king. And the king, all of a sudden, begins to declare this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God that you serve is a God above all gods. For no other God can save and rescue like your God. And then he makes this new decree. Listen, if anybody begins to speak one harsh word against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear you from limb to limb, and I'm going to turn your house into rubbles. Earlier, you're having to bow down to me. Now, basically saying, don't you worry about bowing down to me. You need to be serving the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you speak against him, then you're dead. Forget the furnace. We're going to tear you from limb to limb. And then your house is going to be turned into a pile of ashes, and it's just going to be forgotten. So how did this happen? How did all of a sudden we go from a king declaring that you're going to bow to me, and if you don't, you're going to die, to a king saying, if you speak against the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, you're going to die. What happened? It was the even if to me. It was the even if part. Where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, even if it doesn't happen, I'm still going to serve. So what was the one thing we're going to talk about? What's this one thing this morning that we can talk about real quick? You say one thing? Yes, one thing. Not 3 points, not 6 points, not one point. But it's a one point that is huge. It's one point that is big. It's one point that's just not thrown out lightly, that you can't just say, okay, yes, I got that. Everything's good. No, it's a challenge. The one thing that we must have, you see, the boys stood up for God. The boys were willing to die for their God. They would not bow down to any God but their God. They were willing to die for Jesus. You see, they lived for Jesus. You see, the one thing we must do as leaders, the one thing you must do as a follower for Jesus Christ is live. We must live. That's the one thing we're going to talk about this morning. You must live. You see, in order for you and I to be willing to die for Jesus, we must be first willing to live for Jesus. We must be first willing to live for Him every single second of every single day. And it's easy for the words to fly out of our mouth, but it's hard to hide the actions that we produce every single day. It's easy to say we're going to live, but it's hard to hide the actions that deny us living for Jesus. You could come in here to school, you can come to church, you could come to real life every single Wednesday night, you can get out to your community when you are with your Christian friends, and you can live for Jesus. But what are you doing when you're by yourself? What are you doing when everybody else is bowing? Are you bowing with them, or are you standing up? You see, it's easy for us to say that we're going to live for Jesus, but if it was easy, why were there only 3 people standing? If it was easy, why were there only 3? It wasn't just 10 people. I'm pretty sure it was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people around saying, bow down, but only 3 stood. So if it was easy to live, I mean, at least you think there would have been a dozen, maybe 100. But just 3? Just 3 people to stand? Just 3 people who are willing to put their actions with their mouth to say, you know what, I'm going to live for Jesus? And look what God did with 3 people. Changed the whole attitude of the king of the nation. Changed it. Because they were willing to live. Willing to live. See, we hear the words, live for Jesus, and we put them aside because we've heard them so much, especially if you've been in church your whole life. But if the fire were staring us in the face, we'll be willing to say that we are living for Jesus. See, it's important that we understand that living for Jesus is a whole lot more difficult than it sounds. I hate it when people say living for Jesus is easy. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's not easy. Now, one thing we have to understand this about the fire is that these boys are facing the fire. They're looking in the furnace. And the one thing that I've always been taught about the fire growing up in church, I've been in church my whole life. Did I live for Jesus my whole life? Absolutely not. When I was about 17, 18 years old, I completely turned away from God and ran in a direction that was not good. I got involved with drugs, alcohol, gangs, anything you can think of, I was there. I did it. I was not happy about it now, but then I thought I was cool and I thought I was somebody. And I ran from that. But I was in church my whole life, and I heard what the fire was, and I always heard that the fire was meant to refine, that the fire was meant to purify. It was meant to get the bad things out of your life so that you can shine and be who you were supposed to be for Jesus Christ. And so I'm thinking about this as I'm studying for this week, and I'm thinking about the fire, and I'm thinking about these boys, and they're looking at the furnace, and all of a sudden it's 7 times hotter. And I wonder if they're in their mind, they're saying, even if we die, it's okay. But if we go in and we're alive, that probably means that God is going to refine and we're going to come out better than we were in the first place. So you see, sometimes going in the fire isn't actually a bad thing. Sometimes your difficulties and your struggles and your trials are actually a good thing. What does James say? Consider what? Joy, my brothers, when what? You face trials. Why? Because when you come out, you're going to be lacking what? Nothing. So it's important that you understand that you are going to face fires in your life. What does the Bible say about the armor of God? That the enemy is going to send what? Flaming arrows. Hello, fire. The enemy is sending fire at you every single day. But we have the what? The shield, the protection, the armor of God to defeat those fires. Yes, there's bad fire, but there's also good fire. And the good fire is what we need to look and strive to jump in. I know that sounds crazy. Why in the world? Well, I want to jump into fire because it's going to make you into the woman and man of God that he's called you to become. So that you can be the one, you can be the three that stands up and says, I will not bow down. Because it's not just the world that you have to worry about bowing down to. It's also in the Christian circles that you have to worry about bowing down to things. Compromise has swept through Christianity all across the nation and all across the world. I mean, I don't know, some of you, if just, you can see the world today and know that we're lost, but you can see churches and you can see different denominations, inside denominations, how people are battling and struggling over sins, and they're trying to make it not a sin so they can continue to live how they're supposed to live because they don't want to jump in the fire and become who they're supposed to become because, once again, lackadaisical. Once again, we're satisfied with being who we are, and we don't want to grow, and we don't want to go and do more for God. We're satisfied staying where we're at. Those boys that day were not satisfied with where they were at. And they probably weren't satisfied where they at, and they weren't satisfied where their kingdom was headed. Here's this king making a promise. You're bowing down to this, and they're saying, no, we're supposed to be bowing down to God, so we're going to make a stand. Perfect leadership, willing to stand when nobody else is willing to do so. Everybody else is bowing, and you are standing. You see, here's a huge truth that we must understand. Our hearts will always find something to worship, and that something will motivate how we live. The question that goes back to is this: what are you living for? If our hearts are always going to find something to worship, and that thing that we worship always motivates us to live, then what are you living for? How do we check that out? We find out what you're worshiping. We could come in here and just had incredible worship. Like some of my favorite songs to worship to, we played today. Spirit Breakout is my jam. Like, that is it. Here as in heaven, fullness. I mean, that is just shout unto God. I mean, that brought me back to my church in the 90s, just singing and having fun. Like, absolutely amazing time. But we all know this morning that was worship, but it's not the fullness of worship. You know, it's not the completeness of worship. What's the completeness of worship? You living every single second of every single day. That is the completeness and fullness of worship, is how you live, what you say, how you act, what you do. The hardest thing is our reactions, how you react to circumstances and trials that come your way. Somebody pops off something smart, boom, you pop back. It's a bad reaction. I do it all the time. It just happens. You know, it is what it is. We're human. Still doesn't give us an excuse to continue doing that. But at the same time, it's important that we understand that we are called to live a godly life, not just speak a godly life. And we think if we're speaking, we're okay. But you know, and I know, especially your generations and the generation that coming up, hates fake people. I love y'all's series y'all were doing. Y'all did a sermon a couple months ago in real life called Fake Love. I love that. I'm stealing that. And I'm acting like it's mine, all right? But I love that. I got fake people showing fake love to me. The problem is we got a lot of fake Christians showing the fake love of Jesus to the world, and they are accepting that fake love, thinking they're receiving the real love, and now they got a skewed version of what Jesus is, amen? And it's important that we understand that if we are to give that real love, we have to live that real love. And so when I talked about the one thing today we have to do is live can really wreck your life, because now you have to be truthful with who you are and how you're living and assess your life and be honest and now set up steps for you to live exactly how you're called to live. And a great thing about all that is that Jesus is here, his love is here, his unconditional love is here. Thank goodness there is no conditions on the love of Jesus Christ, because if there were, we would not be worthy to even be talking or be in this room or be in this church building or in this college right now if Jesus' love was conditional, because we would be done from the beginning. So thank goodness it's unconditional. And that unconditional love can refine and can set you up and send you out in a way that can change the world. And as leaders that are called to this generation and the generations to come, you have to make sure that you are living the life that you're speaking. Because you can't get up in front of a group of teenagers. You can't get up in front of a group of old people, gray hair, all those people you want to. You can't get up in front of any group of people and begin to speak Jesus and act like you're living Jesus when you are not doing that at all. Because first of all, the truth will find you out. And second of all, your people begin to live like you because they will begin to see the difference between your words and your actions. And when that happens, you begin to lose all credibility and all respect. And then the power of your words begin to lose effectiveness. And that is when there's a problem. So it's important that you begin to live. And if the band would go ahead and come up. You see, I'm going to say it again, or just the piano. I would say it again. You must be willing to live for Jesus before you can die for Jesus. You must be willing to live. You have to be willing to live. To be willing to sacrifice. I don't know if you all have, I love worship music. I can't sing or I'd be a worship leader probably, maybe, kind of. But I love worship music. Like, my worship leader comes to me and is like, hey, what's the new jumping song? Because, like, every time a new CD comes out, boom, I got it. I got it right there. I don't wait for the day. I pre-order, so when I wake up, I got it on my phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's there. I'm ready. Like, I don't know if you like rap. I love rap, especially trap music. You know what I'm saying? Don't hate. But I don't know if you know the rapper NF. NF just released a single today. Grinding. I'm ready to listen to it when I on my way back home. But I love worship music. I love it. And there's a song by Hillsong out that's called So Will I. Have y'all heard that song, So Will I? Oh my gosh. It's so strong. Basically said, if Jesus will surrender, so will I. If Jesus will live the life, so will I. If the rocks were made to worship, so will I. If Jesus defeated death, well, I'm going to defeat the death. Why? Because of Jesus. So will I. We get the perfect example of how to live for Jesus because Jesus lived a life to show us how to live for him. And the only way to do that, and I haven't mentioned it yet because we all hear it all the time, but it's to what? Read God's word. I tell my youth and I tell people all the time, if you get tired of hearing people telling you to read your word, then read your word and people will stop telling you to read your word. You know, you get tired of your mom and dad telling you to clean your room, then what? You're going to clean your room. I got tired of getting my butt beat by my mom. If you know my mom, I listened to what my mom said. You're tired of failing and slipping up and not living for Jesus every single day? Read your word. Spend time with him. Somebody asked me today, what does your devotion time look like? Every single day I'm spending time with God. Why? Because I know I need him. And without him, I wouldn't be able to stand. So it's important that you make the decision today to live and to live with him, for him, with every single thing that you have. Bow your heads for me. I'm going to say a prayer over you and then ask one question and then we'll close so you can get into your classes and you can continue to grow and know more about God so you can change the generations to come. Father, real quick, I thank you so much for the day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and I pray that your word spoken here today wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other, Father, but they would sink in. And that they would change. They would change lives. They would change motives. Instead of words just taking place, it'll be action. Our reactions would match you. So, Father, I pray for courage. I pray for boldness. I pray for honesty. That we will look into our own lives. That we would examine our lives and we would say, you know what? We're not doing exactly what we need to be doing. But today I'm ready to make that decision, to make that choice that I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not just going to say it. I'm actually going to do it. Your word says don't just be listeners of God's word, but be doers of God's word. It's not just enough to listen. It's not just enough to read. But we must do. We must act. And so, Father, I pray that these students will begin to act on your word, act on your calling, act in your purpose and your will. So if you're in this room this morning, say, you know what? Examining and looking at my life and through this message, I realize that I need to begin to let go of some things. I need that fire to refine. I need God to come in and to clean some things out, to remove some things so I can continue to live for him in a way that I've never lived before. So I can be the one that stands up when everybody else bows. So I can be the one that can face the King, and even when death is looking at me dead in the face, I can say, even if persecution comes, even if loneliness comes, even if rejection comes, even if sadness comes for a while, what does it matter? Because I know my God will restore. I know my God will protect. I know my God will be there. Because what He has to offer is far greater than anything this world can ever give me. So if you're here, say, you know what? I need that. I'm going to make that decision to live and to live uncontrollably for Jesus Christ. Would you just raise your hand? Just be bold enough to say, I want to do that. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the honesty in this room. And Father, I pray for the hands that were raised that you would touch and you would bless them, that you would give them every single thing that they need in order to live for you. Give them the boldness to stand, the courage, God, to walk. God, the ability to live for you every single second of every single day. May they fall in love with your word. May they fall in love with your presence. May they fall in love with your power. And may you fill them with your Holy Spirit to do the things that you've called them to do. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen.